I need to open the glove box so I can get to this bolt. And I open the glove box, and a horse dildo just fucking landed on my fucking face.
Was it specifically a horse cock?
Why was it?
Absolutely, it was.
How do you know?
Honestly, do you really expect anything different from a show hosted by three mechanics? I hope to God you don't. This week on Flag Time. Welcome to the Flag Time Podcast, everybody. The Automotive Service Podcast, where we talk a lot about not that. Sasha has made a very early appearance.
I got a cock on my shirt.
Did you hear that?
That was the perfect timing for that meow. Oh my god. Anyway, I want to start today's episode with a statement. Those of you who are joining the highway, y'all are the motherfuckers with the goddamn yield sign.
Sometimes.
No, all the time. You're the ones who are supposed... It's your responsibility to get on the fucking highway, not people who are on the highway.
Step on the fucking gas! And go!
Yeah. You're the one with the yield sign. The yield sign is for you. Get the fuck up the highway and get in there on your own accord. Don't rely on other people. Stupid ass.
Or your Civic or whatever car you have, not just your Accord. I had an Accord. Yeah. Love that.
Anyway, that's my statement. You're the one with the fucking yield sign. Do something about it. Fucker.
Sterling, what engine was in that Honda that I sent the picture of?
H motor.
What do you mean by H motor?
H motor. I don't know which Sasha's fucking one it is. I can't see what numbers on the side of the block through the photo.
Cat butt.
You can't tell by the valve cover or nothing.
No.
Post-production Serena Bobby is here. If you're wondering why Pixie sounds very not normal, it's because he forgot to set his mic to the actual microphone instead of the webcam that it's recording out of right now. Sorry about that. Anyway, back to the episode.
So you don't know if it's a B series or what?
I said it's an H motor. It's an H series.
I didn't know there was an H series.
Do some look every Honda engine that was.
I would have if it had the sticker under the hood. I could tell what it was, but I
every
didn't.
Honda motor that is that era has a stamp on the block that says exactly what it is. Look up if Honda you, engine stamp.
If you would have said that while I had the car in the shop, I probably would have looked for it. That car was in like.
You ever worked on Hondas condition. Before?
I have. I didn't know they printed the. Actually, no, I did know that.
Yeah, so what the fuck?
I just didn't look. I didn't think about it at the time. I didn't look for it.
You're on dumb mode.
Also, all I did on that thing was a fucking tire rotation and alignment.
Oh yeah, I didn't really look. Mm-hmm. I got a 2004 S430 in the shop that I finally got fucking done.
Old.
I don't know if I talked about this already.
I don't remember.
I think you talked about that you recommended a bunch of stuff on it, and they actually were like, oh shit, they want it all done.
They approved $7,800 worth of work
to an 04. Person that loves their car.
Yeah, to an 04 S430 with the 113 engine non-compressor. Yeah, so the two customer complaints were that it was grinding when you tried to move it, and there was oil leak. 113's oil leaks all the time. So the reason why there was a grinding noise was because the propeller shaft from the transfer case to the front diff just exploded. It was completely disconnected. No power was going to the front wheels. I couldn't even back up. Like, we had to tow it in. And because the propeller shaft disconnected at the transfer case in the back, like not in the front diff. So luckily the engine was okay. There was no block damage, but it did destroy the O2 sensor on the exhaust.
Nah, you don't need that.
No, you kind of need that. Especially since if you don't put one on, there would have been a hole in the exhaust pointed directly at the housing of the fucking...
Not if you put a cap on it.
Listen.
A cap?
That the housing of the transmission is made out of magnesium, and that's flammable. So...
Yeah.
Such a great idea, honestly. Let's put a flammable metal bolted up against something that combusts for a living. Sick on the idea. Inside. Sometimes it's an external combustion engine.
Volkswagen engines have been made out of magnesium since the 50s, yeah, I think.
It's a light metal with a side effect.
It's pretty cool.
Being flammable. But you know,
of burn.
Yeah. But so don't have a hole pointed directly at a housing that's made out of magnesium. Anyway, before that's you continue, the oil leaks, there were three places where this oil leak was coming from. So the valve covers, the oil filler, not the oil filler, the oil level sensor on the bottom of the engine, and the rear main. So I had to do a rear main seal. I had to do a rear main seal. And since I've never done one before, and I've also never worked on a car that old, it took a long time to get done.
First experience with like a legit shitbox.
Yeah, kind of. I made it not a shitbox. It was like so great after it was done. It drove so nice after it was done.
The great thing about like older German cars is like you can put like $7,500 into like an early 2000s or late 90s German car, mm-hmm. and it will, unlike, I don't know, if you put $7,000 into a fucking like Ford Ranger, it would just be like the same.
Yeah.
But like a German car that has like old bushings and shit and like oil leaks and all this stuff, like it will last, if you put like good parts in it, it will last that amount of time that you had the car after that.
Exactly. Same thing with like an older Toyota or an older Honda.
Honda.
Well, speaking of,
it'll last forever, but it won't just be like, I mean, it'll still be like a car with a lot of, you know, like wind noise and crappy.
Oh, I just remember, kind of
crappy to drive.
Did you talk about the German car? That reminds me, we had a Porsche up on the lift with the Porsche. I go fuck. Because sounded like a wheel bearing was going bad, so we had it up there. We had it driving, spinning, and the Porsche emblem in the center console, when it's spinning at a certain RPM, makes a swastika shape.
Sick.
I couldn't record it because the customer was there listening.
What do you mean it makes a swastika shape?
When the Porsche emblem is spinning at a certain RPM, it makes a swastika. And I was like, the thing!
The thing that's bad.
Yeah.
The thing that's bad.
You know, so funny. People will go out of their way so far to you actually know it was just adopted by them.
It was adopted and then changed up for them. So it's not the same as
they soured it. So whatever.
Yeah.
But
it's like
No more words. No more Nazis.
Were you about to do another fucking?
I was gonna say, when I get into the customer's car that follow that religion, they'll have that symbol. Normally. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those emblems on Mercedes too, because that emblem in that certain religion, I don't know what it is. I'm not gonna misname it. It's a sign of good luck. It's like good fortune to this thing. You'll see it on engine covers all the time. Be like
Buddhist, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
I think it's Buddhist. Yeah, I see it on the engine covers too. If we're wrong,
oh my god, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm literally just gonna.
It's either Buddhist or Hindu. I don't remember exactly.
It's Buddhist or Hindi for sure. I know that.
It's just like. Just a quick sudden thing, and then you realize it's like oh, that's right.
It's not at a 45 degree angle, so it's
fine. No, it's flat up and down like supposed to be.
The 45 degree angle is.
It's just when you open the hood and it's painted this big on the fucking engine cover, it's kind of a shock.
Whoa, hey there!
It's like whoa! Oh, wait a minute.
This is like
It'll usually have three knots underneath it too. Sometimes.
Yeah. So it's a lot of different places, a lot of different people and religions have adopted that. But according, the word swastika is derived from Sanskrit root swasti, which is composed of su, good, well, and asti, is, there it is. The word swasti occurs frequently in the Vedas, which is, as well as in classical literature, meaning health, luck, and success. Jesus Christ. Every word is like highlighted. And every time you I'm like following it with the cursor. And every time I like highlight a word, it opens up another like
ADHD problems.
Kind of hard to read. It's like,
Use your finger. Just
yeah, you can use your finger.
It originated. European uses of swastikas are often treated in conjunction with cross symbols in general, such as the sun cross of the Bronze Age.
Random history lesson with flag time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. How about older meanings? Not European ones, because we don't know how that happened. We don't know what happened there. It's bad. Some people are still into that, which is fucking crazy. You should kill yourself, by the way, if you're still into that.
Wars still into what? Conquering?
Nazism.
Oh. Yeah.
To slightly pivot away from this conversation, we're going to... I'm going to talk
Where's my Kar 98K?
That's actually a really cool fucking gun. Anyway,
it's actually a Roman salute.
I want one. I just don't want one yet.
I want a Mosin Nagant. That's all I want. I want a nugget. Give me a nugget.
I want
McDonald's.
That gun kicks way harder than you're ever gonna expect.
I don't give a shit. I've actually fired an 1880 version. Whatever the 1880 is, 1886, the one with the hexagonal barrel.
I don't even remember.
Hexagonal,
octagonal,
octagonal
barrel.
You finally have a Mosin Nagant.
Yeah, my uncle in Winchester.
Do you remember what it was chambered in? Because I don't remember what the originals are chambered in.
It was original Russian.
Yeah, I don't remember what the... Because I know the mass-produced ones were in 7.62 by 54R.
That's probably what it was.
Which
gun number.
On a light-ish weight wooden bolt-action rifle, it's a lot of goddamn fucking recoil in your shoulder.
1891.
Gun number...
Yeah, that's one of the most mass-produced firearms ever. They used to be.
There is an 1886 one, yeah. So I was correct. He has the older version.
They used to be $200 fucking dollars, and now they're a lot more for no fucking reason.
Yeah, but no, my uncle has one here in West Virginia, and because I have a shitload of hours in hot dogs, horseshoes, and hand grenades, he was like,
"You know how to operate it."
Yeah, exactly. He was like, "Hey, have you ever fired one of these before?" And I was like, "Not in real life,
not in Minecraft. In Call of Duty, I did."
Yeah, so he handed it to me and gave me 5 rounds. I opened the bolt, loaded the rounds in, closed the bolt, aimed down the sights, and nailed the target first try. And he looked at me like, "What the fuck do you mean you've never fired one of these things before?"
It's my first.
I'm a wizard.
What I'm saying is hot dogs, horseshoes, and hand grenades can be used as a training tool. Not really. Don't pay attention to me. Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. This episode of Flag Time is brought to you by the Flag Time Patreon.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I subscribe to that to show my friends because I have no way of showing them anything. I forgot to be funny about that.
Well, the Flag Time Patreon is where you can see the video versions of these episodes.
And you can see this.
Yeah, that
and
too.
And you can, like what else is on the Patreon? You need to look.
There's a lot of things. There's a lot of extra stuff, including what Sterling's talking about. There's
more stuff.
More clips. You know, starting at $3 a month, you could just see the video versions of the episode. $6 a month gets you all the bonus content, which is probably what Sterling's talking about. And $15 a month here.
You won't. No balls.
Yeah, that one. Gets you access to us saying your name on fucking the end of the episodes.
Don't you want your fucking name said on a podcast? Like, come on. Like, that's the meaning of life, honestly.
You won't, though, because you got no balls. All shaft.
Well, but everybody that subscribed does. Somehow. I don't really know.
The Flag Time Patreon. Subscribe today to see. Have you ever wanted to know what a Hot Wheels car looks like in a mini wind tunnel? What? No. Well, guess what? You're in luck, because this thing called a Winzible Desktop Wind Tunnel is a real thing, and I'm not shitting you. It's a 13-inch long, actual, for-real wind tunnel with a fan and a smoke generator that makes a surprisingly smooth laminar flow of air in the test area. You can test Hot Wheels cars, Matchbox cars, Matchboxes, your if it's less than 3 inches long. If you want to check it out, go to my Instagram profile at SerratedMobius and click the link in my bio. My discount code Serrated10, that's SERRATED10, will take $10 off of your order of the Winzible Desktop Wind Tunnel. We're back to this episode of Flag Time. Anyway, what I was going to originally talk about before we started talking about guns again, my mom had what?
And swastikas and Nazis and shit.
Yeah, no, that, didn't. That you just kind of
that never happened.
Thanks, Pixie.
subscribe to the Patreon to know what we were talking about.
My mom has a 2004 Thunderbird.
Hell yeah!
Oh,
and the retro, like redone one.
Yeah, the redone one.
The bad motor.
The one with the porthole. This is not a bad motor. It's a fucking Jaguar V8. Fucking awesome as hell.
Bad.
This one's actually pretty good.
They kind of. Have you ever driven one, Pixie?
Yeah, they're fucking cool as hell. It's just the motor. I don't have good experiences with that motor.
Well, if you don't have good experience, that doesn't mean other people haven't.
I know, but fucking
what?
Just because you suck doesn't mean
that I was trying to figure out like a misfire issue or something on one. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, what the fuck is this motor? Because it wasn't like any of the rest of the fucking V8s that Ford made at the time.
It's
like,
what the fuck is this?
It's a Jaguar engine, Mike.
It's a Jag.
Anyway, because it's an 04 Thunderbird, it has engineering shit from European cars. So what I mean by that is it has a flex disc on the drive shaft. It's not just a universal joint. It's got like multi-link suspension with rubber fucking bushings and all that kind of stuff, just so it'll drive smoother. But because it's a 2004, every single bushing in the suspension system is just wide open and there's no grease in it whatsoever.
It's made out of goo.
So it kind of creaks going down the road a little bit. What my mom is doing right now is she has invested in the car to the point where we are replacing every single suspension component and putting new
technician working on it. Is like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah. Hopefully they gave it to one of the old heads that actually enjoy working on those older cars.
I just love suspension in general.
Yeah, exactly. There's probably somebody that's like having the time of their life with this fucking thing, because they're putting all new suspension arms, bushings, bolts, everything into the vehicle. Bolts? So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it when they don't fucking get the bolts. It's like, yeah, the corroded hardware that was like one time used torque deal fasteners are going to have to be reused. And who knows if that's good.
Yeah, not in this case. So I'm hoping that the car will drive brand new when she gets it back.
At least put a Mercury Marauder V8 in it, so it actually runs forever.
This one's not too bad. It's lasted.
Last quite a while.
It also only has like 58,000 miles.
Yeah.
So
I think every 04 Thunderbird has not that many miles on it, because I'm going to buy this because I had a Thunderbird back in 1957 and I want to relive my childhood.
The one I had to fix had 227,000 ish miles, some shit like that.
Yeah, that was there's your problem.
I hated it.
I'm looking forward to working on it. My mom is going to be getting it back on Monday. So in a couple days.
Sick.
And next episode, I will report her findings of what she thinks, how it drives. Because she drives it all the time. So she's going to know, she's going to be able to feel the difference more than anybody else. So
perfect.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes out. And funny thing about that car is she let me drive it to Charlotte when I was in NASCAR Tech for a couple of months. And driving back and forth from Fayetteville, North Carolina to Mooresville, North Carolina, you could either go like the faster way is to either go the highway up to Greensboro and then down, just take the highway the whole way, or go down through like Rayford and then through Rockingham and then go through Charlotte and then up. So those are the two fastest ways, according to the GPS. There is another quicker way that is just back roads, which is a straight shot, like through Fort Bragg, through like Troy, through all that, to through the Uwari National Park. GPS says it's slower, but it's like, if you pay attention to the speed limit, it is slower.
It's slower if you're a fucking loser.
Yeah. So my Prius identified as a rally car when I was in NASCAR tech. I turned that thing into, I put Pirellis on it. I turned that thing into a,
Stepirellis.
Momentum racer, pretty much. Cause like, that's all you could do in a Prius is just build momentum through the corners and try to keep that speed as much as you could.
Yeah.
But when I took the Thunderbird down those same back roads, the acceleration out of the corner was the best part. Because I was like, oh my God, I actually have power. Like the rear end would just... like,
what?
It would just... the rear end would just plant itself and I would floor it and I'd just fucking go out the corner. It was the greatest fucking thing. However, getting into the corner and through... the middle of it sucked ass.
That motherfucker goes.
It didn't have the same grip levels as a fucking Prius, but it still was fun to drive. Like it didn't. It was heavier. It was way heavier than the fucking Prius. Oh my God, it was so much heavier.
And then you step on the gas and the V8's just like ah.
Oh, it's a good sounding engine, man. The small block V8 sounds fucking amazing.
It's. I mean, it's hard to have a bad sounding V8.
Yeah. True. But yeah,
that's... they made 280 horsepower in 2003.
Nice.
And they weighed 3,700 pounds. That's actually not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
It weighed
look
less
up the curb
than...
weight of a Prius.
It weighed less than a Crown Vic.
2010 Prius.
Weighs less than a Crown Vic? No, it doesn't.
In a Crown Vic, oh, wait, like yeah, 4,000 yeah, pounds. What the fuck are you talking
yeah,
about?
I thought you were saying the other way around.
Big as shit. Like,
but you're saying the Thunderbird was heavier. Like, no.
No, the Thunderbird weighed less than a Crown Vic and made as much horsepower as a PI New Edge.
What year Prius?
2010.
186 horsepower, I bet.
No, that thing had like 130
186?
Horsepower.
186? That's crazy. No.
Horsepower, yeah.
I don't know.
Really, not even 100.
I guess 10,
more than likely.
I hate when you type in a car and a Wikipedia page doesn't come up. Well, it weighs 3,042 pounds.
It was like 800 pounds lighter.
98 horsepower. There you go.
Oh, yeah, there you go. 0 to 60 time of eventually.
51 city, 48 highway. That's cute. That's real cute there, son.
I was able to get 38 mpg with the way I drove.
I can't get less than 50 miles a gallon in my Insight.
Physically cannot
drive it like a Honda Civic, which is how you drive. Anyone has driven anyone has ever driven like an EG hatch that's manual knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I actually never have.
I think the reason
when you come here.
The reason why excited. I drove well, I think the reason why the head gasket failed on my Prius is the way I drove it.
Probably.
Yeah.
You also probably didn't check the fluids properly at the time.
No, I did. I had it checked all the time.
I mean the two fluids.
Yeah.
The oil and the coolant.
Yes.
Like the transmission sealed.
I was keeping like good. I was doing my maintenance on that car. However,
the AC was probably like, what the fuck, blow the head right now.
Here's another public service announcement.
Like it can race control cars, that.
Professional race cars get rebuilt every week. If you drive your daily like a race car, expect to do a lot of shit to it.
Yeah. Dragsters, they like top fuel dragsters, they rebuild the engine every run.
Yes, because the transmission fucking welds itself together, the fucking spark plugs foul out not even halfway through the run.
Because it runs on nitro methane and makes 11,000 fucking horsepower.
Yeah, it's just diesel.
They burn the plug up and then they diesel. But the plug
is there just to get the engine started.
Yeah, the plugs push so much fucking amperage out of them, they just melt.
So don't drive your daily like a race car if you don't want to rebuild it every fucking week.
Do it.
Dumbasses.
Pussy. Drive your 2011 Nissan Frontier like a race car. Do it.
Yes.
Do it.
Take that 1980 Civic through the corner like that fucking like ball joint ain't gonna fucking explode.
Every Altima owner ever.
As a 1987 Honda Civic owner that registered their car as a bicycle to do DoorDash, I can confirm that ball joints on a 1987 Honda Civic don't explode when you go 100 miles an hour down the main road in Bellingham.
Speaking of exploded ball joints, the first ticket of the day today was a Chevy Silverado with a 3-inch lift.
Gross.
3.5-inch wheel spacers.
God.
What?
And stock everything else.
Someone's going to learn what physics is really soon.
Oh, yeah, no, it was in the shop because both front ball joints, upper ball joints blew out. Because
fun fact.
They didn't change the spindle, so the upper control arms were like this the whole time. It's like, the control arms need to be as flat as possible when it's just sitting, and you don't have problems.
Well, they need to be just unloaded.
Exactly. But it's like, I got no money. I'm going to put the cheapest 3-inch lift and get wheel spacers because I don't have money for proper offset wheels and tires. And then, oh no, my suspension exploded. What happened? I don't have money to fix it.
Well, then you don't have money to drive a lifted truck.
Exactly.
I like when trophy trucks are accelerating and the rear end squats on the ground like a dog shitting. So I'm going to make my truck look like that all the time.
When it's parked.
Yes.
The suspension on a trophy truck with how hard they land, it just makes the truck look like it landed softly. That shit's fucking crazy to me.
It's so crazy how incredible. Dialed in those suspensions can get, man.
Say, like, the bitch is fucking 8 feet off the ground. It weighs 4,000 pounds and it just goes, dude, that's it.
Boink.
It's just like the softest landing ever, and it's like
I'm gonna do a 5-inch lift on my Buick, but I have to replace everything before I do that.
Yeah,
I didn't replace all the suspension the last time I did it because it was already new, like the upper and lower control arms were just replaced, so I just like unbolted the control arm like side bolts so I didn't have to like twist the fuck out of the bushings.
Oh my god.
And then, I put the springs in, ball joints were like...
Mike didn't pick that up.
The ball joints are like, ah!
They're like, ah!
Kill me!
It was fine. The only problem was the wheels and tires that I got for it, they stuck out a little bit more than the stock ones, which is what I wanted, if you would hit like a big bump and like compress the suspension in the front a lot, the wheels would just smack into the fenders. The tires would just hit the fenders.
Hell yeah.
So I wanted to, next time I do the next lift I want to do on this Buick that I have now, I want to take like, you ever seen those sumo springs that are on like big sprinter vans and shit? You ever seen those? Like dudes with lifted sprinter vans will put these fucking enormous ball joint bump stops in them. That's basically like the length. So instead of being a bump stop that's like this big, like a little rubber piece that just only gets activated when the suspension's at full compression, this sumo spring,
like an aromatic spring,
like a tube. It's kind of like an aromatic spring, but it sits in place of the bump stop, and it's the length of the travel of the suspension. But instead of like you know, when you hit full compression, it doesn't just go. Yeah. it acts like an overload spring almost.
Okay.
So it just reduces that slam at the bottom of the compression stroke for the suspension. So I'm probably going to try to adapt that onto my Buick somehow.
Are you going to put taller spindles on it so the upper control arm isn't screaming?
Yeah, if that existed, then I would love to do that.
Time to get a 3D printer that prints metal.
You mean a welder?
You mean a CNC machine?
Yeah, a CNC machine.
Well, no, because like what?
It was fine.
Koenigsegg has a 3D printer that like turns powder into metal shapes, I think. Like so.
Yeah,
I think Koenigsegg has a little bit more money than me. I don't think I can be in the same room as anyone who owns a Koenigsegg and they would even notice me.
No, they would notice you because their net worth would drop the moment you cut it.
It would. It'd be like, my net worth is negative, probably.
They'd be like, I sense poor. Where is it?
I said the same thing about, like, the last dealer that I worked at that shall not be named was located in the wealthiest county in the country by median household income. Wonder why I made so little money there. Anyway, they were like, dude, so like in order to alleviate like all the stress that you're having with this giant drive that you're doing and all this kind of stuff, you should move closer to this dealership. And I'm like, do you realize what fucking county you're in? So like, I make so little money that if I moved to Loudoun County, I would lower the fucking average.
Single-handedly lower the fucking tax bracket of everybody there.
Exactly. Loudoun County would no longer be the wealthiest county in the country by median household income.
Because of you.
Because of me specifically.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
You wake up one morning and there's just a whole bunch of rich people on your lawn. You're like, we found the poor person. Burn him. Like
he only drives a 2009 or what year is your Mercedes?
13.
Yeah, he only drives a 2013 Mercedes Benz. I drive a 2024. He's lowering all the property
values just by being here.
He doesn't drive an AMG. Oh.
This guy doesn't even have a Maybach. What a piece of shit.
Dude, I recommended brake pads and rotors. Just those two things on the front axle of an AMG C63 from 2019 2 days ago. And it was $5,000, not including labor.
Oh, my God.
You can't afford that, you poor piece of shit.
Yeah, it was $5,400, including labor.
So this guy that I did the brakes on the... Yesterday, I did the brakes on that fucking Mercedes GLE 350 that I was talking about the other day, Eric.
Uh-huh.
And because when the guy came in, the guy said that we over the phone we quoted his brakes were going to be $300. And it's like, no, nobody said that. That's the thing.
Sick.
Like they just like
the guy at O'Reilly's.
Like, brakes. No, he said brake jobs for cars start at about $350 per axle, depending on the. You know, the car.
So he misunderstood.
No, he wanted to hear that his brakes were only going to be $350.
Yeah.
But he drives the fucking Mercedes Benz.
Dumbass.
And when we told him his pads and rotors were going to be $1,500, he was like, huh? It's like, there's no way. They said over the phone it was going to be $350. And it's like, no. Like,
wow, that's crazy. Damn.
The parts don't even cost that little. Like that's not gonna happen, guy. And he's one of the guys that just wears flip-flops and pajama pants and t-shirts everywhere. It's
probably like 90s cars.
It's like you can definitely afford it.
What do brake pads and rotors cost for your fucking Civic?
Which one?
Just
one of them. One of them's $8, the one that we saw the other one's week. $9.
All right. Brakes for my 1992 Honda Civic CX. I already pulled up Rock Auto because I already had to look. Brake pad. I'm going to not find the cheapest one, which is $3.52 for a full set of brake pads.
Oh my God.
I'm going to find.
Crazy. They probably squeal, but I bet they work fine.
literally the most expensive brakes for a 92 Civic, the most expensive brake pads are Power Stop carbon fiber ceramic Street Warrior pads, which which is $72 for a full set.
The OEM
brake pads and rotors at my employee price for my E-Class is $121.
That's not bad.
It's still not that bad.
Yeah. But that's not even anything special. That's just OE.
I spent $200 on Akebono brake pads for my EcoBoost.
Bosch QuietCast pads for a 92 Civic are $21.
$21. Hell
$21.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to buy Hawk brake pads and rotors. No, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if they make rotors.
Those of you who are listening who just said Hawk Tua in your head, please crash right now.
Power Stop Extreme Performance Drilled and Slotted. Why do they always got to be slotted?
Okay, so the cheapest brand on Rock Auto for my car is called Famous Brand.
Oh, that's nice.
It's $6 for the for the front. And they're for the Mach 1 and Cobra.
Fuck yeah.
I can get Brembo rotors for $38.
That's crazy.
Brembo 05-095-28511 Prime Vented Rotors are $38 a piece.
Hell yeah.
For a 1992 Honda Civic.
Would Rock Auto have any brakes for the 2013? E-Class, excuse me.
Of absolutely course. Sure, let me go right here. Mercedes-Benz 2013 E350 3.5
yes,
right, brake and wheel hub.
Oh, I found the high performance brakes.
Brake pad, Famous Brand, Centric, Quality Built, Centric. Everyone's like, yeah, all shit on Rock Auto is bad. And like, yeah, all the shitty brands are bad. But they have like Raybestos and Power Stop and like Pagid. I think, I don't know.
Does Raybestos still use asbestos?
Track pads for my car are $60.
Bosch, Brembo, Wagner, AC Delco, Bendix. Okay, the most expensive set of brake pads for a 2013 Mercedes E350 on Rock Auto right now is, there's a Bosch set, Bosch Euro line, $82.
Now add the rotors to that too.
Brembo Prime low metallic pads are actually $52.
Wow.
Brembo ceramic pads are $48. Yeah, sometimes the prices go backwards on Rock Auto. I don't really understand how that works.
Well,
a Brembo set of pads, and maybe they make the same rotors. Brembo makes good aftermarket brake parts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put Brembo's, like a Brembo big brake kit for my car, but I don't want two-piece rotors.
Well, then don't get two-piece rotors.
That's the thing. Brembo doesn't make a single-piece rotor for a big brake kit for my car. And it's annoying.
I mean, S-classes use two-piece rotors.
I hate two-piece rotors. I just don't want to.
Can't you just put, like... I mean, don't the brakes on an S197 fit on the front of an SN95? And those are one-piece rotors.
The rotors will fit because
the GT500 rotors do.
The rotors will fit because it's the same bolt pattern and shit, but the calipers won't.
Yeah, I mean, like, can you put Brembo calipers on SN95 spindles? I'm pretty sure you can.
I
remember when I looked. Well, Brembo.
I don't want to put one because those have don't those have a McPherson strut up front?
I believe they do. Yeah.
Yeah, mine doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Yours has like dual link.
Mustangs have been McPherson since
2005.
79. They have a upright mounted strut that has a spherical bearing on top, don't they?
Isn't a McPherson
strut? Same as a Fox body.
Isn't a McPherson strut the coil, spring, and strut assembly is one? Isn't that what that's called?
I thought a McPherson strut referred to any shock
that was
an integral member of the...
McPherson strut is when you have the strut that is bolted directly to the spindle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily has the spring... If it was double wishbone, it would be an upper and lower control arm, and then a spring that's in there, and then a shock that's usually in the middle of the spring or separately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something you can replace with a coilover. That's why people put coilovers on Mustangs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Civics, I guess. The Civics are dual wishbone.
Let me see.
Does your car have a sport package?
No, mine is the luxury package.
Brembo. Without sport package, body code 207359, 207388, 207459, 212059.
212.
Yeah, so I don't think I can put 197 spindles on my car because the 197s take coilover struts, and mine doesn't.
207 is the E-Class convertible.
Okay, so a front E-Class brake coupe. Pads and rotors. Brembo Prime is $180.
God damn.
I don't know what shipping is. Let's just look at shipping to my house.
So yeah, my employee cost is definitely a little bit better than that for OE. And FCP Euro beat that price even. Thank you, FCP Euro. Shout out FCP Euro. Thank you so much.
$210 out the door.
You know what I said?
Yeah. FCP Euro.
I still need to make more videos for them. It's been a little bit because I still need to make the brakes video for them. I also need to do my transmission service because they gave me stuff for my transmission. And there was one other thing. No, I did everything else. I did the serpentine belt service and the brakes. So all that's left is the transmission. Oh, and the rattle repair kit because my camshafts. Adjusters are rattling like a motherfucker on startup right now.
Oh, they do that. They do the thing.
Yeah. It hasn't tripped the check engine light yet, so it's not that bad yet. So still doing okay there with 218,000 miles now.
Okay, I'm looking at a forum. SN95 big brakes for a 96. I'm looking for a big brake kit for my 96 Cobra. Let me know if anyone is selling. Blah, 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 blah. This is what I did. 2013 GT500 rotors and Wilwood setup calipers. Okay, so you have to use... Do you have to use weird calipers?
Well, I'm on Wilwood's site right now. Wilwood does make big brake kits for it that don't have two-piece rotors, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you can take anything that's OEM and just adapt it. Like you can just take a caliper for a 2013 GT500. That's what I did with my Mustang.
You need some kind of custom work for it because it won't fit. The caliper is just too fucking big.
So I know you can buy a kit for the rear of a Fox body or an SN95 that you can just put. I know SN95s have rear disc brakes, but you can put bigger rear disc brakes on an SN, usually with the, like, you get like a bracket and it just moves the caliper like out a little more, and then you can put bigger rotors on it. I'm just wondering now. I'm curious because I'm about to pick up SN95 axles, engine, transmission, and rear diff for my Ford LTD.
I don't know I should go with fucking street performance brakes or like road race brakes.
Well, are you going road racing?
Not necessarily.
Then don't get road racing brakes because they will annoy you a lot. How do I know that? Because I put road racing brakes on my car, and it was like I was driving around a moving brake squeak.
Yeah. Brake squeal because race car.
You ever been around, like, you ever been to, like, a fucking, like, a rich person car meet, and everyone has, like, Lamborghinis and fucking Porsche GT3 RSs and shit like that, and it's just a brake squeak festival. It's really all it is. It's like, oh my god, oh wow, a Lamborghini Aventador, wow! That's what my Mustang was like. I had to I had to, every single time I drove it, I would make a point of like getting on the highway and getting off the highway using the brakes a lot. So it would heat the brakes up so they wouldn't squeak like a motherfucker around town. Fucking stupid.
Bless you.
I have to look now.
You have to look what?
I'm looking. I want to see if any caliper. Hang on.
I don't exactly need six piston brakes.
Well, you can buy the Brembo four piston calipers. That's what I mean. When I had my 2013 GT, I wanted the track pads, but I didn't want to spend like $1,500 or however much it cost for a big brake kit from LMR, which included Brembo pistons, pads, rotors, and calipers for a 2013 GT500. And I just like looked it up in a parts catalog, and I found out that the OEM Brembo brake caliper part number was the same exact part number at O'Reilly's for rebuilt GT500 brake calipers. So I just went to O'Reilly's. I paid like $200 for front GT500 reman calipers that were unpainted. I got GT500 replacement rotors and pads, and it literally just bolted onto my car. I don't know if the calipers look the same, like the stock two piston ones. They look exactly the same as the 13, 14 ones that I had.
Yeah.
That's probably just going to be something I'm going to do, is just buy Brembo, like a Brembo caliper, and then just put the parts on and see if it fits. And if it fits, then fuck, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, never mind. All the Wilwood ones were two piece.
Yeah, I despise aftermarket brakes. I think it's a scam.
I also don't like drilled or slotted rotors because I don't.
Here we go.
Need that.
94 to 04 Mustang Cobra R brake upgrade kit. Fits original. Fit a 94 to 95 Mustang GT requires a 94 Cobra master cylinder.
Interesting.
So it kind of just seems like it'll fit. But I'm about to get SN95 front brakes, axle, and a 5.0 and a, I forget what the transmission is, an AOD. My buddy's selling me a whole like car's worth of parts for $700, and I just need to go get it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding it for me. It's like, this is the same guy who bought my 87 red Mustang that got stolen from me years ago.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, here's this stuff. What else should we talk about?
Well, the first F1 race of the season is tonight.
Ooh.
In an hour and 40 minutes if they start on time, because it's fucking raining over there now. They've just canceled the F2 race.
Hell yeah.
Well, they canceled the F2 race 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Because of inclement weather.
Ooh, not cool.
I'm going to be staying up a lot tonight, even though, like, I'm just fucking, I look like a zombie, because, like, this past week, I've just been so fucking sleep deprived. Like, oh my god.
Bro, yesterday I fucking almost crashed out because my lunch kept getting pushed back and back every time I got finished with this fucking waiter appointment and shit. Mm-hmm. I would have to do another one because everybody else was just busy or already on lunch. And it just kept getting pushed back to like 3:30 is when I could fucking eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happened because I forgot to cook my fucking chicken the night before. If I didn't have to go get food, it would have been fine. I would have ate lunch at a normal time, but no. All because I forgot to cook my fucking chicken. My normal 12 o'clock lunch got pushed back to 3:30.
Just gets to the point where if the service advisor gives you another ticket, is like, if you give me this ticket right now and I don't eat food, I'm going to shit in this car on purpose.
No, but they can see, because I never get an attitude. I never get this angry. I was so hangry. They saw I was physically annoying me. When I finally finished everything, they're like, hey, Nick, I need you to do something real quick. And I'm just like,
I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to murder you.
I'm going to stab you in the eye. Assassinated.
It's just like, y'all know I have a gun in the car, right? No.
Like, fuck.
I think that's only ever happened like one other time. It's when I was just so hangry, I was on the verge of actually crashing out.
You talking about a gun made me think about like, so the first dealer that I worked at was in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And Fayetteville, North Carolina is a very special place. If you listen to the Unsubscribed podcast, you could hear Brandon Herrera talk about it all the time. He's from there. I'm from there. I lived there for 27 years. There's a lot of crime there. It's also next to
crime.
It's also next to the largest military installation by land area in the country. So
even bigger than Area 51, or does that not count?
I don't know,
because Area 51 is a big portion of that fucking desert.
One second. Largest military base in the U.S. Fort Bragg.
What's the area?
It covers 251 square miles.
Damn. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, Fort Bragg's fucking huge, dude. Anyway, I had a car come in. It was a GLK. And we needed to get something out of
the... Oh, wow. Area 51 is only 60 square miles, apparently.
Yeah, Fort Bragg's fucking big.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't know that.
When we had to get something out of the spare wheel well area. There was something in there that we needed to get. We opened the trunk, and in the trunk was a fully loaded magazine for a shotgun. Like it was like a banana mag, and it had shells in it.
For a shotgun?
Yes.
I had an AR shotgun that was probably one of those
fucking shitty AK shotguns never fucking run correctly.
It had like 12 rounds in it, something along those lines. And
fuck.
Like I had two other of my coworkers come around and see it. And one of them reached for it. I'm like, don't, that's probably evidence. Don't touch that.
Don't touch that.
I was looking for a wheel lock on a customer's car, right?
Yeah.
And I go into the trunk, and it's just like, they're just loose. There's like probably 30 loose AK rounds just in the trunk.
Nice.
It's all like tool ammo, like steel case tool ammo, right? It's just shit ammunition. And I'm like, well, I need this wheel lock, so I take the fucking trunk cover where the spare tire is. I just lift it up, and you hear all the rounds go down the back of it into the thing. And where the spare tire is supposed to be, there's like another 200 rounds of loose ammunition there.
Fuck.
And I'm like, well, I see the wheel lock container underneath the ammunition. So I went and put on latex gloves.
Yeah.
And I just went, just dove my hand in the fucking, in the ammunition and pulled the thing out. God, just fucking, I just held it open and just hearing it run down the back of it into the other ammunition. Oh, I was like, God. There was no AK to be found.
No. I was like, I have a fact check.
Okay.
I from earlier, we were talking about McPherson struts.
Yes.
Turns out, it doesn't exactly use, the Mustangs don't use a it says it uses a modified McPherson strut.
Interesting.
With the spring in between the A-arms and not the shock, but it also says that a definition of a McPherson strut combines a shock and a strut.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's what I thought.
The terminology is muddled, but...
Interesting.
I was always taught that a strut is a type of suspension that the shock absorber itself is a integral part of the suspension. Like you can take shocks out of an old Honda or whatever and drive it around, but because it's not part of the structure of the suspension, but you can't take a McPherson strut out without the attachment point for the upper ball joint being gone.
Yeah, like the entire upper part of the suspension is no longer there when you take the tread.
Because there is no upper ball joint. There's only a lower.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I always thought a McPherson strut was a shock absorber and a spring in one unit.
That's just a strut.
That's just a strut. Well, yeah. It seems that it's both.
I mean, the definition of a strut is a spring and shock combo. That's just what a strut is. A McPherson strut is a strut bolted to the spindle instead of a spring arm.
McPherson strut is a type of independent suspension system widely used in the front suspension of cars that combines a shock absorber and coil spring into a single unit.
Okay, so I was kind of correct. I wasn't really paying attention to the book because I have my shock absorber bolts to my spindle, and then my spring is separate in the lower control arm.
So a strut is what you're talking about, Eric.
Yes.
Yeah.
A McPherson strut specifically is
it's where it's spring and shock
put together. Okay. We've cleared that up now.
Okay. But going back to
also says that a Mustang has a modified one.
Going back to in customer cars. Going back to finding shit in customer cars, I remember I made a clip, like a Snapchat clip of this, but I don't know if I'm allowed to use it because it shows a lot of personal items of this vehicle. However, I filmed it 4 years ago.
But like, what are the items?
Just shit. I was taking the center console out. And in order to take the center console out of a Mercedes vehicle, you have to go through the storage compartment because there's two screws in there that you have to do. So I end up having to take everything that's in that storage compartment out.
God, I hate doing that. Before
I took everything out, I opened it and I saw something in there that kind of just made me stop. And I was like, I'm going to make a snap out of this. And I'm going to try and recreate the snap as best as I can. I was just like, so I'm removing the center console out of this car, and before you get on to me about going through all these people's shit, there's screws in here, so I have to go through people's shit in order to take the center console out. Anyway, why the fuck this bitch got a walnut in here?
You could probably put that in.
There's just a fucking walnut.
The objects I was expecting.
A walnut.
Walnut was not even remotely in the conversation that I was expecting.
I feel like if I use that video,
why has bitch got a walnut in here?
Walnut.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna use that in my next reel more than likely.
Please do it, open it up as a throwback.
I filmed it over 4 years ago. I filmed it in 2020. So I don't think the walnut is in that car anymore. I don't think it's identifiable information anymore. So
did I tell the story of the time I got hit by a dildo in a customer's car?
I probably would have remembered that.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to tell. I swear I told the story on the podcast, but I'm going to do it again anyway.
I mean, you say a lot of things.
So when I was in college.
Oh, boy.
Right? Well, the shot that I took my automotive. The shot you that I took my automotive.
Of course you said shit.
Yeah, I know, but we all say stuff.
The shop that I was at college for automotive was ran exactly like a regular shop. We took actual customer cars in and did work on them. And a lot of the customers are the college students with no money because they're college students. And
what college students don't have any money? That's news to me.
And to have your car worked on by the students, it's like $25, like flat, minus parts, obviously. And I was I forget what I was doing. I think it was doing something. I don't remember if it was like a heater core or if I was doing like a. I don't remember if I was putting in a. What you call it, the fucking cabin filter. And I was upside down.
Dildo.
I was upside down, right. In the passenger chair, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I was small, I could just do that. And I was trying to take, I forget what I was trying to take off. I was like, oh, I need to, it's like, I need to open the glove box so I can get to this bolt. And I opened the glove box and a horse dildo just fucking landed on my fucking face.
Was it specifically a horse cock?
Why was it?
Absolutely, it was. I was
how do
like,
you know?
Because it was on my fucking face and I could see it.
Yeah, but how do you know what a horse cock looks like?
How the fuck do you not? I live in Texas. There's horses everywhere.
Sterling, how have you been on the internet this long and you don't know what a horse cock looks like?
There was there's a fucking agriculture section of like in this college, and there was a small ranch house with horses and shit on the campus. Horse cock is just there. You can see it for free.
I was about to say, if you're on the internet for long enough, you're going to find out what a horse cock looks like against your will. It's just going
to... I do.
Yeah. It's not like it was like a normal size dildo. It was one of the fucking big ones, right?
Because
air
quotes.
It hurt when it hit my face. No, but it fucking hit me. It was the size of my fucking forearm.
Yeah. So was it the size of a horse cock, or did it just look like a horse cock?
It was shaped like a horse cock.
So I mean,
it was like the size of my fucking forearm, like what? Width-wise and lengthwise.
What was the owner like?
She was like 5'2", blonde and skinny.
Of course.
But like, it hit me in the face, and it was just there, and I'm just like, get it off! I don't want to touch it.
It's already touching your face, dude. It's already too late.
I didn't want my fingerprints on it for whatever reason, because it was apparently just folded and shoved into the fucking...
Oh, so it was like spring-loaded.
Yeah, no, I opened the glove box, and the glove box didn't have, like, the
what
slow...
What kind of car was it?
It was a Corolla, like an old Corolla or something.
Hell yeah.
But, like, it opened, it didn't have, you know how when you open the glove box, you're supposed to like kind of slowly go down because it's got like the little cable on
soft
it.
Soft open kind of deal.
Yeah, the soft open, that was broken, so it just goes because it's got a 40-pound fucking dildo in it, and that fucking sprung out and fucking hit me and fell on my fucking face.
Nah.
It's probably, and I was like, I'm not going to say that.
I was like,
that's no.
Yeah, I had to put it back. I put it back in. I had to put gloves on. I put it back in. And then when she went to go pick up the car, I'm like, there's no way. It's like, there's no way that fits in that small lady. There's no way.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
I'm not surprised because I've seen it, but like,
of course you have.
Yeah, because you don't think I went to look curiously on. I was like, how does something like this fit in a person? And I'll fucking
wait. Maybe it's her friends.
I don't know.
Maybe she's holding it for a friend, like all the people on Cops say. Oh, that's not mine.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
I'm just holding that. That's my friend's.
That happened. I was it on my face.
Your friends are crazy.
I don't know who she is.
Anyway, that was this episode of Flag Time.
What a banger story to go out on.
Oh man.
Is there a lesson here?
No.
Any morals?
I don't think so. We talked more about cars than we have in a lot of episodes, so
we talked more about horse cock on this episode than we have in any other episode too.
Yes, actually.
Yes.
Unless I've told that story before, then
it's probably more in detail. The last few minutes had a lot of cock in it. Anyway, including your shirt. Yes.
Oh, shirt. Let's go.
Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of Flag Time. We're going to read names right now. Patreon.com/Flag Time Podcast is where you can see the video version of this episode. And we want to thank our premium members for giving us way too much money. 2004 Volkswagen Polo, Ansel Fuji, Ashton Green, Big Blue Caddy, Chrysler Connection, Devin Newby, Dog Milk 53, Eli Hip, Forced User, Ford Tech 1397, Framed Automotive, Hal, JJ the Tech, JJ Knight 00, John Montague, Kyle Olson 20. 75. Sports Cars of Sumas, Luna Cat Eye, Love Joe Bacon, McDonald Borger, Masonite 500, Mississippi King, Moderately Cool Guy, Mopar 1966, Mr. Crown Vic, Nathan, Nick Toomey, Police 428, Savage Actual 556, Sushi Sausage, Spencer Delfo, Stirworks, Steve Henriquez, Tagarung, The Big Maple, The Forklift Man, Vubula, Elysium Darkness, and Meep Bun in Japanese. Thank you so much for your generous contributions to this dumbass show. Welcome back, and we'll see you guys next time. Okay, bye.
Ha.
Ha. And then people go, ha.
Ha.